It's not Jesus. It's them. You know, it's them of the world. It's them. It's the disciples that suck. You know?
What's up, y'all? Y'all are tuned into the CVMK show where it goes down. You want faith? You want the gospel of Jesus Christ? You want politics? You want sports? You want ratchetness? It's all here. All here. Fitness motivation. It's all here on the best channel on YouTube, CVMK show. Stay tuned.
Y'all, welcome back to another episode of the CVMK show because it is what it is. I am your host, Cody Kelly himself, Mr. CVMK 33. First of all, let's start by saying thank you to the viewers, to the subscribers. I don't know why I can't speak today. Subscribers and to the fans. We're almost at 14,000 on YouTube. On the CVMK Global, the supplement side, we're just about at 73,000. We're growing, guys. We're growing. We're over 2,000 on TikTok. We need you to get us there. The only way we can get to that 100,000 marker is because of you. The only way we can get to the million marker is because of you. We do this for you, for his glory, right? So I want to thank you. Look, we have an amazing episode. But before we go any further, you know what you got to do. YouTube, CVMK, one word, four letters. It is simple, CVMK. If you can't remember that, you don't need to be on YouTube. Connect with us, y'all. It is what it is. Underscore show on the gram, CVMK Global. Underscore global on the gram. Go to www.cvmkglobal.store. Purchase. Y'all, spring's around the corner. Matter of fact, spring's here. We're having 70 degree days in February. Now it's March. It's time for you to get there. So www.cvmkglobal.store. We have an amazing episode featuring an amazing person. We're going to talk about winning today's youth. This is a ministerial episode, right? You know, every now and then, I'm a Christian. I'm a lover of Jesus. You know, I serve in a ministry, but I'm always willing to kind of push the envelope to see where we're going, right? Not where we've been, but where we're going. And youth ministry is the hardest ministry. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. It is super hard. It is not what you think it is. It is full of gimmicks, ups and downs, trial and travail, and usually, by the time you promote yourself out of youth ministry, you're an old person, right? Because they let you serve till you die. And so we're going to go there. What's going to take to really win the souls of today's generation, the youth? Maybe we need to start by defining what is youth, you know, because in church, it seems like it's the inverse of dog years. You know, for every year that you are, instead of aging seven, you minus seven, right? So, you know, you're in your 30s, but you're really 15 in church years, you know. So maybe that's not the appropriate formula. So we're going to get into it. I have invited what I call a subject matter professional in this. Mr. Calvin Preston, he serves at the Prelay of Northern Illinois jurisdiction. Bishop Edwin Walker's serves in the Purity Department. He's hosted Man Up events in Chicago, I would say the last 5, 6, 7 years, even during COVID. He has done a lot. And I want to pick his brain because I want to know where are we going wrong? Because when I look out into those crowds, I mean, they're there, but they're not there. They're there, but they're not committed. They're there, but we can't find them. After this quick return from this break, we'll be back to talk with Minister Calvin Preston. Calvin, how you doing today, man?
What's going on? What's going on? What's going on?
Look, I appreciate you. I know you're a busy human being, right? I know you're making the big bucks, but I thank you for coming down to my little old show and discussing with me as I exit the gym. Winning the youth. First of all, Calvin, before we get into it, give a little brief, you know, background, who you are, what you've done. I think you're an Omega, you know, shout out to the Divine Nine, whatever you want to do. Just give a shout out real quick and then we'll get into it.
All right. So my name is Calvin Preston. I am a serial killer by trade. No.
Right. What if you were? They're like, what?
Right. Hold on. Jail. I'm innocent. Yeah, I got to watch this. Let's.
How you right, like this is, I mean, this brother is wild.
No, so I have a pet. My wife and I, we have a pest control and wildlife business, Complete Pest Control. You can look us up at www.completepestcontrolandwildlife.com or Google us Complete Pest Control and Wildlife of Chicago, and we should come up. And I mean, if you know us and you know our services, go ahead and give us a 5-star review too while we at it. You know what I mean? We appreciate that. Yeah, that's me. I have a lovely wife, absolutely beautiful, stunning. First time I saw her, my jaw dropped. It was like, you know, when you see in the movies, like the door opens and then like the music starts playing and the girl's walking with the hair blowing and everything like that. And they're walking in slow motion. That was my wife. Yeah, that was my wife. I saw her then, met her in high school. We have 4 beautiful children. 3 beautiful girls, 1 handsome boy, Calvin, Natalie, Haley, Emily. Did I name everybody? Natalie, Haley, Emily, that's Calvin. Cool. Yeah, that's everybody. Hey, look, I'm just paying the bills, man. You know, usually my wife is around to help me remember everybody's names and birthdays, but she's not here right now. Shout out to my wife if she's watching this. She's probably somewhere with the kids right now, putting them to bed. But yeah, man, I appreciate you having me. I'm super excited to talk about these young people. Man. I love it. Let's go.
All right. I appreciate that. Well, look, you, every time, particularly within Northern, you know, I see anything youth related, you're there, right? Like I can depend on you if it's at somebody else's service. I mean, you've come to our service, before, right? Commitment is not an issue. But let's start by why. You know, everybody can't work with everybody. You know, and these kids, some of them are just bad. You know, but adults suck too. So it's not like you have a preference. I mean, I'm going to be 100 with you. Adults, I always say adults are big kids with credit scores. You know, so they piss you off even further because they can, you know, do things because they have some access to capital. But you are there. Is it a calling, or was it like, hey, look, you know, hey, we got an absence here, you know, we, you know, you're a young couple, we think you'd be best served? Because sometimes, and let's just be honest, sometimes I feel like, particularly in church, some of it isn't always, I'm not saying God isn't in it, but some of it isn't a burning bush, I'm called to do this. It was like there was a vacancy, you the one that's up, right? So how did you get to the youth department? Both, I get it. You know what I'm saying?
We good. It's not because I'm holding back. I'm just trying to figure out which way I'm gonna go with the conversation.
First of all, let's put this out here, Alvin.
We all
whatever we say has nothing to do with anybody we know.
Oh man, that ain't it. I ain't worried about that. No way. That's man. Right. That's not it at all. I'm trying to tell you, that's not it. You know what I mean? But okay, so. Like, growing up, man, I was in youth ministry, man. And like, I enjoy youth ministry. Like, it was like fun to me. Like, I remember the fun things that we did in church. Like, I enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed getting on the bus with my grandfather and then picking everybody else up. He went to church in the next county over. So picking everybody else up on the way over to his county where the church was. And then going to vacation Bible school like every night. Like I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the lock-ins growing up. I enjoyed the concerts, you know what I mean, that they'll have coming up. I love being in youth services. And I was always drawn to helping people younger than me, even when I was younger. I, you know, served at, you know, the YMCAs. You know, served in different like community service organizations, always working with young people, went on, like tons of like summer camps, like Christian summer camps. So I was, you know, camp counselors during the summer and things like that. So I always already gravitated to young people in the first place. The writing was on the wall, so to speak, my entire life. because everything that I did, anytime I was trying to serve, I was always going to work closely with the young people. I mean, you know, even when my son, he got into school and daycare, I always tried to be extremely involved there and tried to volunteer whenever I could, because, I mean, I just always had a passion for young people. I know when I was growing up, man, whether it was in the church or not, I needed guidance somehow, some kind of way. You know what I mean? And there was some cool guy, you know what I mean? Or I thought he was cool, at least. He might have been lame, but I thought he was cool. You know what I mean? Or some cool young lady that, you know, led me and helped me to understand how to make it in whatever arena it was. So I always wanted to be that person, you know, to give back as well. And then I did, you know, several things in ministry, like in college, as far as young people were concerned. And I made my way to Friendly Temple. So naturally, I gravitated towards the youth department. I'm gonna be 100% honest with you. I'm a loner, man. I'm a super loner. That's how I am. So I came to the church, got the word, enjoyed the word, and left. And that ain't what you're supposed to do. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I got up out of there. But when my wife joined, I moved out here about 6 months before she moved out. You know, find a nice place for us to stay and everything like that. Nice area for the kids to be and everything, or for my son, because he was the only one that was born at the time. And then she moved out. So when she moved out, she started making friends in the church. So she made friends with the people who were on the youth department. You know what I mean? So we joined the youth department, you know, and then from there, I guess the rest is history from there.
Yeah, the whole bait and switch. No, I mean, that's usually how it goes, right? Hey, look, you know, I enjoyed it. You know, got married, got in church, you know, and then this kind of orbit gravitational pull happened. Bam, I found myself in the youth department.
Before I even knew it, I was serving. Like, I was deep serving before. Like, oh, man.
I get it. I was, look, my wife and I lived in St. Louis, man, you know, I won't say what church was at, but we was at a church, and it was like, you're the youth department. I was like, I wasn't even volunteering. I was, you know, I could have been a deacon. I mean, just go into the youth department. So without even my permission, it was a little, this is wild. So let's start here. Before we get into what's affecting youth, what is youth? Because everybody, and it's not just church, the world, nobody wants to age. Nobody wants to feel old, be old, look old. But, you know, obviously, despite our two candidates running for president who are past prime, what is youth? Like, if you could create and say, this is the demographic that I am serving. What is that?
Man. See, you gave a load of questions, you know what I mean? But you said, to answer your specific question, the demographic that I am serving,
the age demographic,
are people, men and women, boys and girls. Now, I would say ages 35 down. And the reason why I say that, and that's just the answer to the question that you said, you know what I mean? That's who I'm serving, because I feel like when there's another brother in the church who is a little bit older than me, and he sees me interacting with young people, he sees me interacting in the church, he sees me witnessing, and he sees me ministering, I am serving him, whether I'm trying to or not. You know what I mean? He has young people that may be a part of, you know, the youth department, or they may be a part of children's church. I'm also serving him by witnessing to his children. You follow what I'm saying? Then I also have young people who are gone away, you know, from college. They've already graduated. So they're in the 20s now. They're in their late 20s, you know, and they may have been a part of the church before I was a part of the church, but I know they are still young people. So I am still serving them. So then I still try to reach out to them. I still try to call them. I still try to, you know, text them whenever I do see them come in town. I'm still trying my best to try to minister to them as well. So although I have a responsibility to ages, you know, 10 to 18 personally, that's just the way our church is set up. Okay. You know what I mean? I'm still reaching out to the young people in college, because I mean, if you're not at a church that has a college ministry, so to speak, You are the college ministry. If you're not a church that has a young adult ministry, you are the young adult ministry. You know what I mean? And then, you know, of course, you know, the teens, I already serve them because that's, you know, that's my assignment there. And I also have to build relationships with the 5-year-olds and the 6-year-olds because one day they will be mine. And I'm just being honest. That's the way I always been. My wife tell me I don't need to be like that. I jack kids up. You know what I mean? You need to get jacked up, you're going to get jacked up. I got jacked up, so you're getting jacked up too. That's, I'm not going to get out. You can't do nothing that you want. Yeah, not elbow, whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. Hey, so.
DDT, whatever he needs. Like, my kids are telling me that I'll do that, though. But it's because I love them. You know what I mean? They know. But if I start building a relationship at 5, one of the brothers at church, he asked me the other day, he said, you know, what am I going to do with XYZ? I said, look, I'm going to build a relationship with them so when they knock them out, I can do it. I mean, you know, like I know, there's people that if they check you, you'll receive it. And there's other people, if they say the exact same words, the exact same tone, you might mess around and your flesh might rise if you might be ready to fight them. And that's because the relationship was built or wasn't built. And that'll take us everywhere else we're going to go tonight, though. I'll tell you that now. But go ahead.
I have to speak in tongues that don't need interpretation. Look, when I get back from this break, when we get back from this break, that's a lot. You know, that's a 35-year window. Let's say, so 10 to 18, but you're dealing with the funnel. So, you know, that 5 to 10, but at the same time, you got to nurture them till they get to the full adult, whatever that is, which I guess it'd be the church or whatever. So that's a lot. That's a lot there. When we get back, I want to talk about specifically, let's say 13 to 30. Let's give it a 17-year span. That's still a large, a lot of people have discrepancies, but I think that's a good start. And then let's talk about what is the biggest challenge facing them right now after a quick word from our sponsors.
Unfortunately, every day is not a day of spring. Life is filled with toxic temptations designed to entice you, to destroy you, to manipulate you, to poison you, to harm you, cancel you, and to make you sick. And at CVMK, we've designed supplements so that you can fight back. You can be who you were destined to be. You can unleash the hero within. With our signature supplement line, go to www.cvmkglobal.store.
All right, y'all, www.cvmkglobal.store. Look what I got with me. Look, this is the, hold on, need my camera stop. Okay, the Whey Protein, the Whey. You see that color scheme? Matches the Jordan 11s, that black and gold. Also matches Colorado Buffs. I'm telling y'all, 110 calories, 25 grams per scoop, digestive enzymes, none of the funny stuff. Get the body that you deserve to have. Go to www.cvmkglobal.store. Use code CVMK24 for 24% off at the discount. When you check out, it'll have a discount bar. It is simple. www.cvmkglobal.store. Okay, look. So, that 17-year span, right, is probably the youth department. After 30, youthful, yes, in church, you're going to still serve the youth because, as I said earlier, we have inverted dog years. You know, basically, however old you are in church, you know, minus 0.5 or divided by 2, and that's your church age. So if you're 40, you're really 20, you're a young pastor. You're 60, you're really 30, you're seasoned. You're 80, you're really 40. You know, you're in your prime, you're 100, you know, that's kind of our philosophy, whether we say it or not, that's what we do. So this 17-year span, what is the biggest challenge for them, specifically when it comes to the faith?
That's a serious question.
Serious question. You can go anywhere with it.
Okay, so where I'm going to go first is I'm going to call you out because you didn't tell me about a 24% discount on your products. Right? I want to call you out first on that.
I appreciate you, man. I saw the sauce you ordered.
Second off, I do want to say, man, hey, your products last a long time as well. I mean, I ordered that a while ago. I still have it. Like, I'm still good to go. I think you had like 50 servings in it or something like that.
I passed the charge mode double, bro. Yeah, because the stuff is made to last over a month, but people don't want to. Y'all go realize.
Right.
Y'all realize.
Right. Oh, my goodness. What do they need? I think they need. I mean, there's a lot of questions, but I'll just say just one thing because we can unfold a whole lot, and I know we're going to hold a lot of different ways in the discussion. So just my one answer, if I'm just going to say one thing, not necessarily the topic thing, but the thing I'm going to discuss today is intentional discipleship. Mm-hmm. So I'm not just talking about like you just coming to church. All right, so let's be real. Like, the goal is to try to get as many people to come to your event as possible. And that is the measure of whether or not there was success by how many people came to the event, you know. Right. Right. But that's not what it should be. The goal should be how many souls am I bringing to Christ and how many people am I truly teaching the gospel of Christ and how many people am I truly teaching how to walk as a follower of Christ should, not as a Christian should, not as a religious person should, not as a person in this denomination should, but as a true follower of Christ, how am I supposed to act, react, and interact in these certain situations? It's not about having fun and playing the best music and having the best organist or having a bad saxophonist because nobody in the area even got somebody on the saxophone. It's not about having the most likes and having the most fun things for the kids to do. It's about intentional, not just discipleship, intentional, meaning we need to sit down with the young people from ages 13 to 30 and help them to understand, okay, now you have become saved. What does this actually look like? And continue to walk with them through that entire process as we are walking through the process as well ourselves, not as we are looking down on them, examining them for everything that they do wrong.
I get it. And I agree. I think intentional discipleship is something that I don't think is on the agenda. Intentionality meaning like an individualized focused for that person. I think most of the time when we create programming, and what I mean by programming, I mean event, because it's not an actual curriculum. So I mean, the church has mastered event planning, not programming. So we measure our intangibles off of how many people showed up, how good was the shouting music, how much money did we raise? And, you know, did anybody come to Christ would be like the fourth criteria, but it doesn't make the third. And then from the fourth criteria, there's really no follow-up. We hope that they can have enough encounter with Christ that it intrigues them to pursue, which is selfish because what it basically says is we don't share in the responsibility of the faith that is totally reliant upon God. And if God can't snatch you in that moment, it rids us from our responsibility. But then that would be the antithesis of the scripture because Jesus said, loose him and let him go. He didn't say me. I gave the word already, right? He didn't say, no, I'm not touching dead body. You loose him, right, and let him go. And I think one of the challenges has to be, maybe we start here. There is a lack of biblical understanding, even within the pulpit. And I don't mean that we have to become N.T. Wright, we have to become Charles Spurgeon. I don't believe that we have to become Josephus. We don't have to become the masters of theology, but I do believe that this is important. It is very important to understand the development of faith and what the true Christian message is and how we not decode, but I'm going to say decode. I was going to say deconstruct, but I thought that word was abused in 2023. So I'm going to say decode. We decode church and give them Christ, right? Because I think what happens with us, and I'm not talking about specifically, I'm just talking about in general. We're so in love with a particular style in a particular way, we're willing to damage and neglect the full truth of the gospel for that way. Because that way benefits Jesus first, everybody secondly, and then thirdly you. So it takes away, I won't go there, that's too far. Though, I'll say this, and let's go to the second question. So, I'll say this. In my second follow-up, you said intentionality was missing intentionality. Do you think that intentionality is rooted in love? And therefore, if it is, and this is going to be loaded, if intentionality first has to be fueled by love, and then it has to be said that I don't think they love me. Like, you know how Kendrick Lamar said, nobody prayed for me. It's been all day for me. Yeah. And humble. You know how the intro to that song.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, almost this, like, I don't believe they love you like that. Or am I too far into it?
Okay, so I'll say as far as intentionality is concerned, all right, it's intentionality on a one-on-one basis, but it should also be an intentionality on a group basis. What I'm saying is it should not just be me trying to build a relationship with student A and then with young person B and young person C and going all the way to Z. It should be everybody in the church, not just the youth staff, continually trying to build relationships with these young people so that when the proper time comes for them to witness to them, when the proper time comes for them to help usher in the presence of the Holy Ghost, they are fit to be able to do that. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
True.
Now, as far as, I guess, what you were saying, we need to have biblical literacy and we need to have solid theology. If you don't know what the word says on specific topics, it's easier for you to walk away from the faith. If you don't have a solid understanding about what God's word says, then it's easy for you to be confused whenever you hear what the world says. Now, when someone is not intentional, does that mean that they don't love me? I think intentionality is a way of showing your love. But when we go back to discipleship, some people have not been taught how to properly love, you know. So I do think that the reason why I personally am intentional is because I do have a love for the individuals that I'm trying to be intentional with. And I feel more love from those who are intentional with me. But I don't want to sit here and just rule out everyone, you know, who's not being intentional, automatically equate that with them not loving me. Because in reality, that intentionality piece is not even on some people's radar at all. And it has nothing to do with how much they love or how genuine of a person they are. They just don't understand the concept of, like you just said, it's more than just us coming and calling on the Holy Ghost every, you know, Sunday and then the rest of the week it's just up to just us, and we just hope we got a feeling that feeling's going to carry us for the entire week. It's more than that. It's about building intentional relationships. I mean, we have to have intentionality when it comes to our relationship with God. I mean, it's not osmosis. You don't just, you know, get closer and closer just by just sitting in the church. To your point, you said you talking about the ages and everything like that. Depending on your age, you divide that by two and multiply it by 0.5, and that's your age in the church.
Yeah.
Some of these people, they have been in the church for, you know, 20, 30 years, and it's as if they just started coming to church yesterday. You know, so
it's if intentionality is an issue, then it has to be a cultural phenomenon. It has to be a cultural problem. I always say whatever is written will never supersede what is behaved or what is obeyed. Right. Even though I would love to think that law supersedes thought, but most of the time thought supersedes law. Right. So culturally speaking, I'm kind of in this weird space. I don't want to abandon certain traditions. Right. I don't want to, what I would say, adopt the, you know, skinny jeans, cool leather, you know, and if that's you, if you like the, you know, biker look, you know, don't own a bike, never rode a bike, but you wear the, you know, little flap jacket and stuff. And I see some, you know, fans out there. And if that's you, that's not them though. A lot of times that's just smoke. But if that's you, you know, not calling names, fine, fine, if it's you. But if it's not you, don't do that. You know, at the same time, you know, I'm not stoic. You know, I barely wear a suit. We had a meeting last Sunday, or whatever this is. It ain't gonna be last Sunday, but we had a meeting on Sunday, and I brought up. I said, you know, and I said to the meeting, like, look, I don't do suits, you know. So, and I got ridiculed, like I always do. I've been getting this a whole life, so it's nothing new to me. I just like saying it just for the giggles most of the time. But I obey. I wear suits. I got enough church suits to get me through a convocation. But at the same token, that's just not who I am. Just whatever, right? So I'm kind of stuck because my whole focus has not been to rebel. It has not been to create a trend or to be cool. It has been to capture the hearts and minds of those, that intentionality that you mentioned, that we're trying to reach. And I think that we're so focused culturally in it looking a certain way that we're willing to forego all virtue for this acceptable presentation, right? And I always thought to myself, these things don't make us closer to God. So you will have a preferential sin or a preferential custom, you know, and ignore the fruit you could have had. You know what I'm saying? So that's my hiccup. It's just that it's not Jesus. It's them. You know, it's them of the world. It's them. It's the disciples that suck. You know, like it's them that, you know, you'd be like, oh, I will come to church, but I want to punch one of y'all. You know, like it's them that really turn people off. Culturally speaking, how do you get any pushback, you know, for anything you try to do? You ever had somebody come up to you like, hey, you know, Mr. Calvin, you know, I see what you're trying to do. I don't think, you know, the Bible says, let not your good be evil spoken of. And I think that if, you know, I'm not trying to, you know what I'm saying? You know, the church talk, right? Into the shoulders and everything. You know, I just, you know, you be like, bro, you know, stand on business. Tell me that you know, has anybody pushed back against any of your efforts?
First off, a week, man. I'm trying not to break out laughing right now.
Hey, look, hold on. Hey, bro, people be saying the dumbest stuff to me. I'll be like, this is my, I done got saved, so I can't say what I want to say, but I saw a look at you. I say in my face, I'm like, If my lights ever go off, I done told you off so fast, you just don't know it. But if I do like that on you, it's
my eyes. Oh my goodness. Yeah, man. And to be honest, man, it's water on my back, man. I gotta ignore that stuff, man, because it's literally so many people and so many times that people have said things that are church culture or maybe the specific church or denomination that I'm, worshiping with that day. I understand that's what it is. It's not the Bible. It's just that's how you feel. And that's fine. That's how you feel. You're not going to say that that's just how you feel. And that's the way that everybody has felt all this time. And because that's the way everybody has felt, that's what we're going to do. You're not going to say that that's really what it is because you don't want to admit that. You want to try to use God's word to try to make it what you were trying to say. And that's what we're not supposed to do. Whenever we read God's word, I guess we can read God's word to try to make it say something. Which that happens all the time. We can try to read God's word to make it not say something. You know, the Bible says don't do this, or the Bible says do this according to this scripture. You know what I mean? Or we can just read God's word to understand just what the word just said, period. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, the word said what it said. Like, you look at the context, look at who was saying it, look at who was talking to. This who was talking about. All right, period. I mean, it ain't, you know, you and I find that I find myself struggling too. When it comes to preaching and speaking, it's not that I may not know the verses. It's not that I may not know the scriptures. It's not that maybe I don't know how to articulate it the way that it's commonly articulated and the highs and lows and things of that nature. It's just more so I understand, look, textually, which back to the biblical literacy, this ain't got nothing to do with that. So I don't even need to be, you know, this is it's not related to this at all. So using this specific scripture right now will really be incorrect. You know what I mean? So I find myself struggling trying to even deliver sermons because people, I mean, even to the same conversation we're having, they'll get certain excitement off of you saying, repeating certain scriptures whenever you're in a sermon. You know what I mean? Whether it has anything to do with the sermon or not.
You're right.
That's when they get excited because that's when they listening. Like, huh? Are you not listening to how I was just trying to help you understand? God says, you know, that, you know, our souls will be condemned if we do this. And now you hooping and hollering because I repeated the verse you heard last Sunday. That's what we doing now. Like, what about God's word? Like, that's what you're supposed to get excited over. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
there's pressure. Hey, look. And this is for another topic for another day.
Man, it is. It is. So I'm sorry. I went there. I ain't
mean. No, you're good. Let's do it. This is for another topic. We're going to revisit it. There's pressure to preach a certain way.
Oh, there is.
Churches.
Oh, there is.
Because you could be what God has given you to say, and you know, you're comfortable. You studied, you fasted, you prayed, you're laying it out as clear as daylight with all clarity and soundness of mind. But because you are in a particular body with a particular audience, and you see people just staring at you, right, getting up, about to walk out. Some of you be like, say yes. Like, it's just something in you says, I'm not about to fail. And I don't even know if we say that's failure, but the human side of ministry, and maybe we need to deal with that, the human side of ministry. Is always present. All right, so back to the
right. My bad. So I have to like ignore what the people are saying, man, because I understand that just like we were talking about with the sermons, there's so many different things that you were just saying that because that's how you came up, and I understand that, and you're not going to say anything different because that's how it is in our culture, period, when there are things that we just don't agree with and that we have just grown up that everybody said that that was the norm and that was okay. Whenever the norm is pushed against, there's a problem. And I understand it's not biblical. So since it's not biblical, why am I going to let myself get twisted up about it, man? A brother said other than me today, man. I mean, the other day, he said something about my hair. Preston, I'd have never thought that you'd have got a hairstyle like that. So, but now I can't, I mean, I can't even have like short hair. And it wasn't like my hair was dyed with like pink polka dots and braids or nothing like that. It was just, you know, what hairstyle. Like I'm a young person. I still do got some hair on my head. You know what I mean? So, hey, look, I want to have a different hairstyle. And I mean, and it wasn't like he was coming for me. He wasn't trying to be disrespectful. Yeah. He wasn't telling me cut your hair. But it was like, he was talking like, almost like, man, I'm disappointed, man. I didn't, you? Yeah, I never thought you'd have came to church with hair like that. Like, huh? It wasn't braids. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't dreadlocks. And I mean, I love the brother to death, and I know he didn't mean any harm whatsoever. Yeah. But it's just, these are cultural norms that people will do. They'll say that you should do things and say that you shouldn't do things. And, you know, working in ministry, you trying to raise money. There's certain ways that you just want to come to the people. Like, because realistically, I don't care what nobody talking about. Y'all listen to this podcast if you want to. I'm trying to win souls for Jesus for with these young people. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get these young people to understand that they have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm trying to do whatever I can to get them around me so that I can be intentional about trying to disciple these young people. So whenever it comes to trying to raise money to try to get your dusty kids into heaven, I don't understand why there would be a certain protocol that I have to go about trying to raise this money. No, man. No, man. We should be throwing the money at it. And I say that because, you know, it's not just because I'm in youth ministry, just in general. I should be trying to do whatever I can to try to make sure that my children can get into heaven. Now, I understand we got, you know, I understand we have a, what do you call it? I mean, you know, sports events we got to go to. I understand that, you know, you can't just be in church all the time. And I fully understand and comprehend that. But it should not be that hard in youth ministry as it is when we are the people out here on the forefront trying to make sure that, like you said, there is a church tomorrow. Okay. So when it comes down to it, if you are saying anything that's not biblical, I don't even care, for real, because why am I supposed to care? I got somebody who's literally thinking about, forgive my language, I got a young lady who's thinking about busting it wide open. I'm trying to save her soul. I ain't trying to worry about, you talk about my hair, or you talk about the protocol I'm supposed to follow when it comes to raising funds and why I can't go to this person because y'all don't like each other and nobody support this and nobody. I ain't got time for none of that mess. I'm trying to win souls, period. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. No, you're good. Just, look, you got to stand on business and tell them, I'm just trying to win souls. I do not care about your isms.
Adult souls, man. Kid souls. The babies. I'm trying to get the babies.
Yeah, kids.
Come on now. That's the most important thing. Like you said, that's the most important thing in the ministry.
Jesus said it's better for you to tie a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. It's better for you to kill, he's basically kill yourself, than to destroy the youth ministry. I would argue and say the youth ministry might be the most important.
Come on now.
We're going to look. I want to get into, because I think what we've done, we have opened up Pandora's box, because this is what it comes down to. It's the style, and it's what we want, even over what God wants, right? And I want to deal with the woman caught in the very act of adultery, and then we're going to get into these thoughtisms, because there's just a lot to unpack there, and we need to discuss, because it is worth discussing. After a quick word from our sponsors.
There's a hero in all of us waiting to be unleashed. All it takes is just that one last push. Activate the hero within with CVMK Global Supplements. All natural, steroid-free, designed to enhance performance, build muscle, and increase energy. You are unstoppable. You can do this. Become your own hero at www.cvmkglobal.store.
Y'all, www.cvmkglobal.store, where it goes down. I'm telling y'all, don't support GNC. First of all, you know me. I'll give you a refund, a full refund. Hey, B, you know me. Do you know the CEO or COO? Excuse me, my wife's the CEO. Do you know the COOs of any of these companies? No, they don't want you to know. www.cvmkglobal.store. All right, so Jesus comes encounter with a woman who is snatched. From all indications, she is a sex worker, and she's taken out from the very act.
The very act, preacher.
Right. Very act. Right in the process.
Not they heard it.
Nah, they was getting down.
Not you used to do it.
They was getting down.
Not it happened yet. No, she was caught in the very act. Okay, go ahead.
She was throwing it back. She was throwing it back. Throwing it back. That's what she was doing. She was throwing it back. She gets taken to Jesus butt naked.
Which is exactly where she should go. We all should be taken to Jesus the right way. We should be taken to Jesus whenever we're caught in sin. The right. Yeah. That, I mean, so I'm with you so far. I'm with you. You ain't got no organs, so you're not got to, you know.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you. And her accusers let the other guy go.
Hold on. So you mean to tell me now adultery, you know what I mean?
Takes at least two.
That insinuates that
it could have been three.
It's not fornication, you know. So it insinuates that somebody was married.
Somebody was married.
Okay. So
it could have been multiple.
Right. But just the woman.
Just the woman.
It didn't say the woman and her husband. It didn't say the fornicator and his wife. You know. The woman was there.
Just the woman. Okay. Let the guy or guys, because we don't know, the Bible never gives a detail. You can't assume it's just one guy.
Right.
It'd have been a wild little freaky thing that was happening.
Man.
Stuff happens. So taking in front of Jesus.
Hold on, preacher. Preacher. You mean to tell me they caught, because, and see, that's the thing, man. People want to hoop and holler. Ain't nothing wrong with hooping and hollering. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy it. Some of my favorite preachers hoop and holler. I enjoy it. You know what I mean? But they, you know, try to stay contextually bound. You know what I mean? So this, you mean to tell me Jesus is preaching in the temple? Like, he's preaching. He's giving his sermon. He was teaching. It said he was teaching. But that's what preaching should be. It should be teaching. But here nor there. And in the middle of his sermon, in the middle of his lesson, they bring this woman in here talking about, okay, she done got caught.
Yeah.
Busting it wide. Okay, go ahead.
Busting it wide open and is presented in front of the master. And her accusers are putting all these accusations and holding her to the letter of the law. Jesus says, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. The Bible says that they began to leave a file from the, I think it's the greatest to the least. I think that's how it's quoted. And it's in the book of John, 8 chapter, verse 3 through 11. And Jesus turns to the woman and says, woman, where are thine accusers? Neither do I accuse thee. Go and sin no more. Here's what's wild. Neither do I. She never repented. I won't bother nobody that. But she never repented. You never heard
Bob her. Never says she repented.
Bob never says, right. Bob but never says she confessed.
It is clear. We didn't see in the scripture.
We didn't see it in the text.
She forgetting that. Right. She could have already asked for forgiveness while she's on her way naked being pulled in the church. No, but I'm sorry, Lord. You know, she... It could have happened, but the Bible didn't say. I got you. Okay. Bible
didn't say she repented. But the Lord has so much mercy because God is so much God. He understands all the variables and makes his decision based off a criteria that no man could issue.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says that this is something wild. He begins to write in the ground. Right, he just starts writing. It's not clear what he wrote. Some argue that he was writing the names of the accusers. Others saying that basically he was writing something that would have made an abridgment to an Old Testament law. But he began to write, right? And from this writing, he forgives her. The Bible says, and again, he stooped down, wrote on the ground, and they which heard it. It's funny, he wrote, but they heard the word that he wrote, which is funny. You can't hear audibly writing. Words don't have sounds that are not audible.
Mm.
Right? Like if I write down the word thug, you can't hear it. You can see
it.
But they hear what he wrote. So Jesus does something unconventional. He's not shocked. He's not flabbergasted. And the Bible says when Jesus had lifted him up himself and he saw none but the woman. How come we can't get to that point? Why can't we see none but the person? And what I mean by that, I really think in my heart of hearts, we don't want to deal with what humanity really is. Right? Because they all had sin. The only difference between her and the religious elite were she was just exposed. None of them could stand before God and be perfect. Right? But he doesn't accuse her. She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And then the next verse proceeds the 12th. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And then the Pharisees therefore said unto him, "Thou bearest record of thyself." So Jesus at this point says, because I am God, I can do this thing without challenge. How come we won't just let God be God and allow humanity to come before him in the most rawest form, in the most nasty and reviling and perverted and lustful and twisted and just all out disgusting habitual stance with us being freaked out? It seems like to me, and I know this is a long way, we don't want everybody saved, or we don't want to deal with certain sins. Are we sin phobic?
Oh my goodness, are we sin phobic?
Are we
sin? Okay, so I wanted to address what you were just talking about, as we were, you know, talking about Jesus and the woman who was caught in the very act. Right. I do want to point out that that scripture was not about not judging people.
No, I know. Yeah, I know.
That's great. And I'm not saying it for you. I'm saying it for, because that's what people will say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That scripture was not necessarily about, although you can, you know, get it from there. It was not necessarily about what sins can be forgiven and what sins cannot be forgiven.
Right.
Okay, so we have to take in consideration. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about biblical literacy and solid theology. Like, all right, what's going on here? Like, why on God's green earth would a preacher be preaching and somebody in the middle of his sermon or somebody in the middle of his Bible study lesson, will say that it's Wednesday night, Thursday night Bible study, in the middle of his lesson, somebody come in here and say, "Hey, look, you wanna, what should we do to this woman? Should we stone her? Because the Bible says we're supposed to stone her. The law says we're supposed to stone her. Like, should we kill her?" In the middle of his sermon, why would they do that? Now, remember, who were they talking to? They're talking to Jesus. Why would they do to Jesus? Because they're trying to get Jesus caught up. They're trying to get him caught up so they can have a reason to try to kill the man. But Jesus too smart to get caught up. He's like, "Bro, like, I ain't going to say nothing. Because look, Jesus, if I say something, then you're going to try to catch me up. And now you're going to have something for me." So instead of saying something, "I'm so smart, I'm just going to sit down while in the middle of my sermon. I ain't going to say nothing."
That's so right.
Look, I ain't even gonna make no decision. I'm gonna let y'all make decisions so y'all can't say I did nothing. That's how good of a teacher I am. I'm teaching y'all while I'm teaching him, and y'all don't even believe in me. Hey, look. So instead of y'all trying to focus on how I should condemn this woman based off what the law has said, how about we understand this? Whoever is without sin, whoever has not sinned, let them be the one who was in charge of the condemnation here. Let them be in charge of the discipline here. It's not up to you what happens when she sins. I'm not going to tell you right now. It's up to me what happened when she sins. whoever is the sinless individual is the one who is in charge of deciding what happens to them when they sin and when they do not sin. So whoever's sinless, you stay here first and you go ahead and you cast that stone. Now you see, Jesus was the only one that was still there.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the only one that was still sinless. He was the only one that was still present, but he said, no, I'm going to forgive you. So rather than focusing on what sins the individual has committed, rather than focusing on how nasty they are, how derogatory the things that they have done are, how terrible of a person they may or may not be, how about we focus on the fact that they are a sinner in need of a savior, just like we are, we're sinners, but we are constantly being saved, and allow the Lord to do the rest of it, rather than sitting here trying to play God ourselves. We ain't got no control over who you forgive or who you don't forgive. Matter of fact, for God so loved the world that he gave, it was his gift. It won't nothing that we did. It was a gift, man.
Right.
It was a gift. And we can't do nothing for that. And we got to stop playing like we in charge of who gets to get saved, who don't get saved, who can't be filled with the Holy Ghost, who can't be filled with the Holy Ghost. It ain't on us, man. It's a gift.
And if it's a gift, how can we argue against the giver? You know, what's funny is that in this, particularly up to at least the 12th verse, none of his disciples said one word, which tells me that they're present, but their silence is complicitness, right? Are we complicit in the harming of others? And what I mean by that, I think every human being has phobias to an extent, barriers and whatnot. And I think some things are good for just the safety of one's vulnerabilities. But I really feel that we have preferential sin. There's certain sins that aren't as egregious, which is crazy because the wages of sin is not like God puts like special. I mean, he has category, but it's not like, hey, you ran a stoplight. You know, like it's not like that with God, right? The wages of sin is death, right? But for us, for the fullness of humanity, we have preferential sins, right? Like we're okay. Smoked a little weed, fine. Sold a little weed before it was illegal. Don't bother us, dog. You could have been an ex-GD vice lord. I mean, we celebrate. If you listen, in this denomination, if you're an ex-gang member, we will celebrate with you and shake up with you afterward. That's how, first of all, we got a problem with our shirts. Some ex-gang stuff. We have a certain bias and cultural okayness with, I don't know if there's a word, but like we're okay with certain things, but there are other things that we'd be like, whoa, you know, like other things like, you know, and I think that is the start. You mentioned intentionality. We go back. You cannot win what you do not love. You cannot win what you will not sacrifice for, right? So let's say modern day text. This woman she got 100 million Instagram followers. Fans only? She OnlyFans. Pop it. $10 a month subscription. OnlyFans. She pop it. She got a YouTube channel where she just wilding out. Shows up in church. Rather voluntarily or involuntarily. Most likely voluntarily. Nobody gets dragged to church. But I feel like we would not be as... Well, no, because that's not true. We have a celebrity culture in church. The only way we can get past the sins that are normally taboo for us is if you get to a certain level of celebrity. Are we more focused, and this is for you, preacher, are we more focused or has celebrity become the new sin? Has celebrity become the new thing that makes us ignore truth, right? Like, can we deal with humanity the way that it is, the nastiness of it all, the rawness, the complexity, the duality in most cases, or we can only deal with it when it exceeds, it gets to a point of celebrity?
Have to be careful with certain conversations, because we have certain conversations you don't want to do damage to that which you were trying to help. So sure. You have to be careful about how you articulate it. Sure. But reality is, we see a number of preachers on a number of different platforms across a number of different denominations that are not living holy. We know that they're not living holy. The first ladies are not living holy. We know that they're not living holy, but they're still allowed to hold the position they're able to hold and still able to do the things that they are doing. And we turn the cheek, or I should say, we look the other way whenever these things are taking place because of who they are. And that's just reality. And I'm not going to say no names, but sure. It happens, period. You wouldn't be asking me that if it didn't happen. Sure. It happens.
Sure. So are we going to, so let's take it out of the celebrity context. Let's just take it from us, you know, less than a million followers, people. Let's say, I guess that's the new like status. I don't know. But let's say, you know, in your experience, do you think that we're as welcoming as we should be toward the full complexity of humanity? And that's what I'm gonna say. The full complexity. No. Not even close.
But I guess I gotta expound on that. Like, obviously you don't think I am. Like, no. No, if we were as welcoming, half the things that we say and we stand on business about as far as what has to happen in the church, we wouldn't even be saying that. Because if I'm really trying to build a relationship with you, the first thing that I need to say to you shouldn't be about your hat. You know what I mean? Now, I want you to respect the house of the Lord. Yeah. And I want you, I mean, wherever we at, period, I said, I was just raised, you ain't really supposed to be wearing your hat on the inside. Now, I guess if you at Walmart, you can wear a hat. But, I mean, you know, you step in somewhere, you're doing business. It's just, I'm from down south. Take off your hat. That's just what, yeah, that's that. You know what I mean? So I understand that. You know, but when it comes down to it, we really have to do a better job of allowing discernment to lead us when it comes to addressing certain things that we just don't like. It may not necessarily be that it's not biblical. It may not necessarily be this is going to prevent them from getting saved today or prevent them from being filled with the Holy Ghost. But because we don't like it or it's against the cultural norm, we say things about it. And the way that we address these things to someone who is not a part of the organization or organizations, they could feel uncomfortable. You know, I'll just be 100% honest with you. You know, you said what you said about suits and everything like that. I'm the type of person where if I'm somewhere and I'm out of town and I forgot my suit, I ain't going to church that Sunday. You know why? Because I grew up in a culture where it's understood if the type of churches I've been going to is you need to be in a suit. You need to be in a suit and tie. You know what I mean? It's not right. It's not supposed to happen. People shouldn't still be having conversations with you all the time about why you got to be wearing a suit. Don't nobody like that, but you can't tell me that it's in the Bible to say you got to wear a suit. Don't get me wrong, man. I love wearing suits, man. I be feeling sharp when I be in the suits, man. Like, you know, it ain't nothing like, you know, going to like, you know, tailor-made suit, actually getting them to cut the cloth and everything like that, getting the fit to your body. You got a tie to match, you know, the shirt match the, you know, pocket culture. We do it so good, you know what I mean? The size, it look nice. And don't get me wrong, I like it, but like, if I haven't gone to church as long as I have,
sure.
No better than to come to certain churches, even though they say come as you are, I know better, and you know I know better. And that's why, because I'm a minister, or because you're a missionary, or because you're an elder, or because you're a preacher, that's why you're not going to go to these other churches dressed like that, because you know better, even though you can come as you are. If you know better, do better. Because you know better, you're not going to come to church, right? So now, if you will say that, and I will say that, and we will say that, it's official night because it's official night, and you don't have your, you know, your specific attire on. You're not coming at night because you left it. You're not coming. You know what I mean? Like, you're supposed to be in place, but you're not. All right. Now, if you will do that, having the discernment that you have, being filled with the Holy Ghost the way that you're fulfilled. But Calvin, you don't understand because, you know, an official night, you got, this is proper protocol. Whenever you go somewhere, if you were to go, you know, to the court, the judge is going to have on his outfit. The police officer is going to have his outfit. I fully understand that. I fully comprehend that. But we're talking about your soul here. We're not talking about your occupation that you're chasing money for. We're talking about your soul here. Now, when it comes to your soul, if you feel that way, then what makes you think that somebody that don't come to church like that won't feel that same way? So they need to feel welcomed whether they have church clothes or not. They need to feel welcome whether their church clothes are appropriate or not. And they need to feel welcome long enough so that the Holy Ghost can change them to be able to adapt to your church if they so choose to continue to go to your church, or so the Holy Ghost is strong enough in them so they can understand, hey, look, you crazy. I can still be saved and dressed like this, but I need to go to another church that really is preaching me God's word and really is going to feed me and feed my soul. And they won't make me feel judged because I am dressing this way. Now, don't get it twisted. I ain't saying come to church dressed like no stripper.
I ain't saying, there, right?
In a muscle shirt every day.
Not what I'm wearing. Like, I never wear this shirt.
You know, I'm just saying, like, reality is, it takes a while to understand the culture that you're in, whatever situation you're in. You go to a new gym, you go to a new job, you go to a new church, you go to a new organization. You have to understand the ins and outs of that specific organization and how to flow and how to do stuff right. And if you're turned off before you can even understand what's going on, it's a possibility you never come back. And we're talking about the difference between somebody getting to heaven and hell. We got to be extremely careful about how we accept and turn away God's people. He loved them all. Jesus died for them. He died. And we got a nerve to be like, man, saying stuff to make them not want to come back. Go on somewhere. I ain't got time for it. We're trying to win souls. Don't forget about that, people. We're not trying to have a beauty contest. We're not trying to have a fashion show. We're trying to win souls. So I don't care what you're talking about. If we ain't trying to win souls, what is we talking about?
No, that's true. Look, we're going to have to do a part two because there's like a list of stuff. We're going to close on one more question, or one more focus, I should say. We'll deal with social media, the advent of social media and how it has impacted everything. It will impact everything. And, you know, how do we minister in this social media age? After a quick word from our sponsors.
I literally just tried the best pre-workout on the planet. With Superpower pre-workout, you have increased focus and a power boost every single time you work out. It's not only packed with 225 milligrams of caffeine, but it also has citrulline and creatine. It's insane how much energy and focus I had during my workouts. If you're ready to take your workouts to the next level, then ditch your current pre-workout and get the Superpower pre-workout to be your own hero.
Y'all, I was looking around. It's over there. I mean, when it comes to the pre-workouts, Superpower is the strongest. It is the best. Or if you want a cool vibe like I've been on the last couple months, Warrior Thirst. It tastes amazing, feels amazing, you'll be amazing. But you're only going to get it at www.cvmkglobal.store. When you get to the website, there's a three-prong bar to the left. Click on it, signature supplement, scroll down, click, and take you to where all the good stuff is, www.cvmkglobal.store. Okay, look, social media is new. It has exploded. There's a new app like every 3 months. You know, we went from Tagged to MySpace to Black Planet to Facebook to Instagram, and then they merged to Meta to Snapchat to TikTok to Fanbase to every and anything. And there's like a whole list of, you know, minor platforms that are growing by the day, right? And what it has created is an opportunity to advertise, to promote, to display, to get exposure, but also an avenue of demonic visualization. It's probably the best way to say it. You don't have to go to the extremes of you know, I remember when we were kids, when we wanted to see something nasty, we wanted to get a Playboy magazine. We had to get somebody older, had to go to a gas station, had to buy the magazine. Or you had to get, you know, somebody older, usually an older cousin or somebody, you know, go to do it on the corner, get yourself one of them nasty little movies. Right? Like, there was an effort involved in sin. It wasn't like this, you know, now sin is so effortless. That's what's LeBron. Like, you can just turn on your app and you're right there. You know, like, we had to stay up to 2 o'clock in the morning, watch BET Uncut right before Pastor Kearney came on, right? So you'd be dog tired going to church the next day, just be like this. I can't, I'm so sleepy. I was knocked out in church. Anyway, so it was effort. It took effort to sin. You couldn't just sin. You had to search for sin, find it, do it. Now, sin is at our fingertips. It's easily accessible. You know, half the stuff is free. And you can't condemn social media, because how are you going to win the youth? And they're always on social media if you don't have an active social media profile. You need to be posting. You need to be writing, creating statuses, creating reels, creating videos, creating how-tos. YouTube, Roku, you know? So it's a double-edged sword. It's hurting us and it's helping us at the same time. I don't even know if there is an answer. And this isn't fair, but it's going to be the last question. How do you minister in the day of social media to the youth?
One thing we have to understand is whenever it comes to social media, it's the internet, period. Whenever it comes to media, period, it's media. It's just social media now. Media is full of lies. Media is full of propaganda. Media is full of people trying to get people to think the way that they think. And I mean, that's what we're trying to do as well, you know. So if they are using these methods, and they seem to be working for the masses to be able to get them to believe what they want them to believe, and what they believe is not true and what we believe is true, then as long as it's not sinful in nature, and there may be some wisdom in using the similar methods that they're using to try to get the masses to believe that which we believe. I think it's important, you know, to try, you know, your best to use social media. The problem is, you know, the preachers in their prime, as you illustrated it, don't even know how to access their email. You know, I'm just saying.
I mean, yeah, I get you.
So with that being said, for them to want to be willing to say, yes, I'm going to put a $12,000 line item in the budget for social media is not realistic.
No.
Although I would argue that some of that preaching and teaching that you're going to get from, I guess you would say the young pastor then, because the young pastor, he would be 60 in his 60s, but really 30s in church. You know what I mean?
Right. No, you're right.
Right. So the sermons that you would get from him and the teaching that you would get from him is really what needs to be put out there. But that man is not on social media like he needs to be either. And it's not necessarily about, again, what is going to bring the church the most money. We're trying to win souls here, right? But then obviously, I mean, you can't continue to, you know, run your ministry if it's not, you know, financially sound. But then you got some other issues going on there too. You think about it, if the church been around, and I don't know, this is me not understanding and everything like that, but I'm just thinking, just sure. In general, sure. if the business, let's just say that if a business has been in existence for a certain number of time, and it's been operating financially correctly, then at a certain point, the business could be, should be, would be debt free. You know what I mean? So whenever you're in that situation, then you can make some decisions that you may not make in other situations. So if you're a pastor, you know, who's been pastoring at a church, you know, for decades, and the church has already been existing for decades, you would hope and think as much money as, you know, the church can bring in, the church will be paid off so that by a certain time you can't actually like invest into something like that. But you see, I'm not saying the pastor run the page himself. I'm not saying just you get somebody just to volunteer, like, you know, their expertise, because we've been saying that for years. And then, you know, it's happened at some churches, you know what I mean? But like, right. Like you go to some of these thriving churches, and I'm not just trying to copy what every church is doing is growing, because we're not chasing crowds, you know what I mean? But you go to some thriving churches that are actually preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you see that they have a social media presence. And some of them, you can see that they have people on staff who literally get paid to handle media, period. They're a part of the media department. And whether they get a stipend or whether, you know what I mean, they get a check each month, you look at some of the other churches and you look at their youth ministry. You know, the youth minister gets a stipend, or, you know, he gets a check. You look at, you know, people in the different departments, and they're able to get paid for the services they're able to offer, which may allow them to be able to work a regular job less, which may be able also, that may also allow them to be able to put more energy into the labor that they're already trying to do. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we should be trying to, you know, make the church a business so everybody's paying for everybody to sit around, you know, and do nothing. Or anything like that. But I'm saying there is real ministry work that needs to be done. There's a possibility if the financials were in a different position, then maybe we'll be able to handle some of these things. And social media is one of the critical things that need to be handled. And as we can see now, there are professionals who are trained at that. If you're going to hire a professional for HVAC, you ain't just going to get your brother Joe to come do it. You're going to make sure you get a real electrician out there who's been doing electrical work for years, and he has proof, and you have references for him. Yeah. It should be the same thing with social media. You're not just looking for, and it's okay for a time for a member at your church to just be handling your plumbing. It's okay.
For a time. Right.
Plus, the church has the ability to hire a full-time maintenance guy. Okay, all right, let's do that. You know what I mean? And then once the church has the ability to be able to get that maintenance man, you know, a salary where he has, you know, a certain lot of funds where he can hire the right people, you guys can get people on contract, legitimate businesses, that should take place. And social media should be considered, especially when we're talking about, I'm going to say it, but we can't talk about it right now, especially when we're talking about trying to witness to a generation that don't come to church. And since they don't come to church, they don't bring the kids to church. And if they don't come to church and the kids ain't coming to church, what the church going to be 20, 30 years from now? All right. Yeah.
And that's why it is what it is on the CVMK show. I have appreciated this. We got to do a part two because there's a lot of topics. There's a lot of topics that we can go down. We got to do a part two. Calvin, it has been a pleasure, man. Where can the people connect with you, man?
People can connect with me by reaching out to me at, yeah, I'll give my number out, 815-219-7579. You can reach out to me at cpcandwildlife@gmail.com or holler at me at completepestcontrolandwildlife.com. Yeah. Or come see me at Friendly Temple, 7745 South State Street. I come to 11 a.m. service, but we also got 8:30 service, and we have Wednesday night Bible study. If you got young people and you want them to be plugged into a good youth ministry, we have a youth Bible study every first and third Wednesday as well.
I'm about to say, it used to be a youth. I was like, oh, it's not the... Yo, connect with them. Visit the church. Goes down. He gave out his cell phone. That's real plug, man. I hope you feel me. Wild calls, man. Look, connect with him. It goes down. And you know what you got to do? You want to keep seeing amazing leaders like we have on today. YouTube, four letters, one word, CVMK. Instagram, it is what it is, _show. CVMK _global. CVMK 33. Snapchat, CVMK Global. TikTok, CVMK Globe. Fan base, CVMK Global. Yo, and where the best supplements are, like the protein I showed earlier. www.cvmkglobal.store. And until next time, guys, thanks.
If you think exercise alone got me looking like this, well, think again. CVMK Global Super Thick got me right. I'm obsessed, and yeah, I won't stop talking about it because it helped me grow in all the right places. Its creatine provides a fast and reliable way to increase your power, size, and shape, and it's scientifically proven to help you reach your physical goals in a safe, controlled manner. So if you want to increase muscle size, pump, and thickness in your muscle groups, you need Super Thick.